This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
Welcome back to Threshold, a show about personal empowerment in the realms of business, politics, and personal relationships. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm calling it A Galaxy of Song with singer-songwriter Stephanie Slevin. In Threshold, we believe that every person can, with right understanding and right effort, can connect to a level of spiritual awareness that will give them access to a supreme intelligence, the source behind all manifestation. And for one's life to reach its most perfected nature as a human being, reaching this connection is critical and most satisfying. Today, I want to introduce you to a very significant singer-songwriter, one whose original songs represent a myriad, a cluster of subjects and genres, and are sung in almost a dizzying variety of styles and voices by the very talented Stephanie Slevin. I have featured some of Stephanie's songs on Threshold previously, but now I want to introduce her in person. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Johnny. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's just great to have you. I can tell you that much. I was very happy to meet you, to make your acquaintance on LinkedIn. Although you live in the UK, it seems that we're connected by only a few doors away. Such are the great achievements in communication that social networks open for us. In certain ways, Stephanie, you represent the so-called emerging songwriter who's making valiant efforts to promote her music to the world, as I am, and now many of my friends. Yet, like most of us who write songs, the essential part is not the business nor the struggle to be heard, but the songs themselves. And from listening to your songs, I would say they come from a deep emotional well within you.
Yeah, my songs do come from a very deep place, not just from my heart, but from my soul as well.
And I think that's an important distinction, because we're talking about something that goes even beyond the veil of space and time sometimes, as we'll speak about the source later on about your songs. In order to know your work better, we definitely like to hear about your childhood, which has a great deal of sadness in it, but is also the basis for a lack of faith and understanding of other people. Share with us some of that story, Stephanie.
Okay, well, in my earliest childhood memories, up to the age of 6, it was spent with my wonderful grandparents. My grandmother was a wonderful person and she was full of love. She would never say an unkind word to anybody. And for a long time, I thought she was my mother. And when I returned to London, England, to go back to my parents, that's when I entered a very dark place. But I've always had my grandmother's love to carry me through.
You know, there's a lovely little song you wrote called Goodbye, My Love. I would say in the style of a classic English folk song. It is a song you wrote about your grandmother that you just spoke of, a woman whom you cherish because of the story you just told me. Tell us a little bit about how you came to write this song.
Well, I've never been able to see my grandmother in dream, and I see a lot of other people that have passed over and they come to me with little messages. And I kept praying to God and asking, could I see my grandmother? And one day she came through to me in dream, and she kind of let me know that she was there through leading me to another person who wrote a poem about her grandmother. And through that poem, I realized my grandmother was there, and I wrote this song because she didn't want me to keep going to the cemetery and being upset. She wanted me to get on with life and move forward.
She wanted to know that you were really, that she was really alive, and going to the cemetery wasn't necessary. Well, let's play it. Let's play Goodbye, My Love.
Thank you.
Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. I'll sing you on the virgin shore, and when time doth fare me well, we will be as one once more. Goodbye, my love, I'll miss you so, for I don't want to let you go. But in dream you said to me that by my side you'll always be, and wherever I do roam, that you will be my telephone. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my love, you fare thee well, and in due time my heart will tell everything you've shown to me, how to reclaim my dignity. Goodbye, my love, I fare thee well, you are the soul that rings my bell, and wherever I do roam, you are the heart within my home. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love, I'll see you on the virgin shore, and when time doth fare me well, we will be as one once more. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love.
Stephanie, I was touched by another of your songs. All these songs are so deep, and sometimes, even though they are referring to a specific circumstance or person, they have such a universal appeal. They mean so many things. About the same subject, but perhaps to so many people on a personal level. Now, another song of yours is called Cast a Shadow, which I think was inspired by your own childhood, but written for someone you met on Facebook. Tell us about her and why you wrote the song after you read some of her poems.
Well, I met this lady on Facebook after reading her poems through this group that helps people that have suffered abuse as children. And she liked a couple of my songs and commented. So I contacted her and I said, would you like me to write a song for you? And she said, I'd really love you to write a song for me. So I did. And I actually won an award with that song. And she was so very happy and it brought her a lot of comfort. And that brought me comfort knowing that she found comfort from that as well.
Well, I think this is a beautiful song. So let's hear Cast a Shadow.
Thank you.
Left to the mercy of them. ease with your pain, mental health. For swift are the devils in the nighttime, as they dance with their movements of stealth. For her abuse has cast a shadow on her lifetime, when alone she closes her eyes to sleep.
A coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of the stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was six. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra Laflamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra Laflamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra Laflamme at 888-366-8070.
We're back with songwriter Stephanie Slevin, who wrote a song about something she knew about when she was 2.5 years old. Tell us about your song called Dublin City, Stephanie.
Well, Dublin City is about President JFK's visit in 1963. And I don't actually remember it, but I do remember the bars and the excitement and everyone flapping around, and everyone loved JFK in Ireland.
Well, yeah, JFK is really an exciting personality. And I think that many of us who follow his life realize that he was possibly much more of a hero than you might think. So let's play Dublin City.
City. A man advanced for his time and stood in line for us to see that you stood for mankind, for you were not blind, no, you were not blind. to see Dublin City, Dublin City. Full of courage, no fear, to stand your ground and voice your sound. Stood for humanity in its purity, for the world to see in Dublin City. Dublin City. A man advanced for his time and stood in line for us to see that it's not what mankind can do for us, but what we can do for mankind. For you came to see Dublin City, Dublin City. The land to shake your hand in Ireland. For in 1963 we came to see President John F. Kennedy.
Well, that's an amazing song. I don't know exactly what to say about it. It's just so incredible. Another song that is also really poignant is a song called Look What You've Done. I think I'd like to play that now. This song is about people realizing what they've done to somebody else. And it's an amazing little song.
Look what you have done to this little child of mine. Look what you have done, for your darkness has gone blind. You broke and starved her body, and I freed you from your sin. But look what you've done to this child of mine, 'cause you let the darkness in. You cannot be saved, for I gave you a last chance. But you chose the path to darkness, and you did the devil's dance. Oh, look what you have done to this little child of mine. Look what you have done, for your darkness has gone blind. Forever in her sorrow, her happiness a show. Little broken girl, nobody wants to know. And I did always love her, since the age of birth. But she could not feel my love, for she felt she had no worth. Oh, look what you have done to this little child of mine. Look what you have done, for your darkness has gone blind. You can see her torment as she cries out in the rain. And I can feel her pain as she always calls my name.
Yes, that is a really interesting song. And one of the people that I've worked with is another amazing performer named Patricia Welch. And we are fortunate enough to have had a really interesting conversation with her. And I'd like to play a little bit about one of the musical accomplishments that she has been working on. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welsh for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welsh. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelsh.com/CD. That is patriciawelsh.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
Hi, Steph, tell us at some point where you felt that you wanted to do something specific with your life. Exactly when did you begin to start writing songs?
To be honest with you, I wrote songs from a very early age, but I just didn't realize they were songs. And then about 7 years ago, I was talking to somebody and he looked at all my poetry and he said, these are songs. And he advised me to go home, think about it, look at them and see what I could do. So I took his advice, I went home, and all of a sudden I looked at them and I knew they were songs. The music came in my head, new words came, and I knew that I could write songs. I knew they were songs.
I know the experience because many years ago, I mean, it's hard to even believe this, but I wrote a book about rock and roll and the consciousness movement. This was about what happened in the 50s, 60s, and 70s to rock and roll. And I was thinking, wow, you know, it's not that I just, you know, I had written a couple of songs before. I said, I don't really just want to do this. I don't just want to write about it. I want to actually do it. And I got home, and within approximately 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes, I had something like 9 songs that eventually will be going into a musical called Libra Unchained. And I don't know how it happened because I got the melodies and the words basically at the same time. So there's this mysterious factor, isn't there, sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes there is, yeah.
So when did you decide to actually become a singer-songwriter? I mean, sing your own songs.
Well, about 7 years ago, and I realized I did have a gift, I did have some talent, because I didn't actually believe that I had talent before that, until a few people actually told me that I did. And they were, they knew about music, they knew about the music business, and they urged me on, pushed me on. And I've always wanted to be like a singer and a poet, because I class myself as a poet. And now I'm living that dream. I'm going forward.
Well, actually, before you actually made that decision 7 years ago, have you been singing at all?
Yeah, I've sung for years. I've sung in karaoke, sung in pubs. And a lot of people have said to me, you know, I should do something with it. But I just didn't believe that it was good enough and people would want to hear my stuff. I know that's different now.
What kind of pushed you over the edge to have this courage, besides somebody just talking to you? What actually made you feel, okay, this is something I could really do?
Well, I was actually very, very down and not wanting to go into too much detail. And I had a dream. And in my dream, somebody came to me, like a dead relative, and gave me a message. And I looked up that message, and it kind of told me that I needed to put my work out there and to go forward, and that God was with me.
Wow.
And that's what happened. It was like a life-defining moment.
So, in a certain sense, sometimes the truth about ourselves reaches out from another dimension of experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't understand it. I've had songs come to me, whole songs and melodies, in a couple of minutes. Not just that one experience, but other experiences.
Yeah, same.
So you never know what can happen when you're dealing with this kind of talent, because it is somehow intimately connected with what I call the miraculous. Anyway,
And I've always turned to God for help, and eventually I feel like he came to me in dream and urged me on.
Well, I'm going to be starting out with a little promo for my friend Edgar Ahrens, who is a composer who I've worked with for many years. I connected with him on the internet, and he actually introduced me to Patricia Welch, who has worked with us in performing our songs for a long time, and they're about to really emerge shortly. So I'd like you to listen to this with me, because Edgar Ahrens writes scores, not just songs, and this is about his work for scoring for television and film. So here we go. I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had two seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim? The devil's host?
I'm saying, whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theaters, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist, illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too. We're back on, again, with Threshold with Stephanie Slevin. You know, we were just talking about some of the doubts and fears that you had right before you started to proceed, and then you had this amazing dream. And I think that when you first start something seriously, I think there's a lot of time. There's a lot of times you have a great deal of doubts and fears. And then for some of us, something begins to turn around. Tell us a little about your mood when you wrote What Goes Around.
And What Goes Around is a song about my negative thoughts and my positive thoughts. And it shows me my negative side, and then it shows how I'm starting to look up and believe that good things can happen. And it's my faith that keeps me going through things.
I think that faith is really an important thing, in the sense of faith not being blind belief, but being trust, which is the word pistis in Greek, which is often translated faith, I think fundamentally means trust, that you're trusting in a power that's greater than you. And I know the feeling, because a lot of the things that I've really wished for have come and are coming true now. And I think that a lot of it has to do with understanding that there is this other dimension that's greater than us. So let's play your song now, Steph, called What Goes Around.
Say what goes around comes right back around, but that's not true for me. They say what goes around comes right back around, and that it comes in three. Please bring me rest, bring me some peace, please knock on my door. And I promise I'll ask nothing forever, evermore. Rise up from the darkness and step into the light. Close your eyes, embrace, you feel tomorrow's end of night.
Goes around, comes right back around, and then it comes in front.
know, I think we have a lot of responsibility as songwriters, particularly ones that sometimes write about current events or current situations that need to be dealt with. I remember marching along other people in Annapolis at the end of the era of segregation, and the power of these songs, like We Shall Overcome, I don't think you can underestimate their importance. I know that when you began writing, you were inspired by different life events, of course, in England, which you witnessed or read about on TV. Tell us a little about Joseph Hall.
Joseph Hall, I was actually watching a TV documentary, and it was very, very emotional. It made me cry, very sad. And all of a sudden, when it finished, the music and the words came straight in my head, and I wrote the song down. And that's how that song came about.
Tell us a little about the story of Joseph Hall before we play the song.
Well, he's a little boy, 10 years old, and he shot his dad. But his dad was a very brutal man, and he was coerced by his stepmother, who was never charged for that. And the 10-year-old boy had learning difficulties, so they put him in prison, like in an adult prison, when they should have took his mental abilities into consideration, but they didn't. So it's kind of about that, you know, a little boy in an adult prison.
See, what happened to him, do you know?
He's in prison still now.
Wow, for 10 years old.
10 years of age, yeah, and they put him in adult shoes because they had no shoes to fit him. It was a very, very sad story.
Well, let's play and listen to it.
Well, thank you.
In his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he stood up to fall. Yes, in his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he's not a man at all, Joseph Hall. Took a gun and shot him down, his brutal dad no more around. Better man, he'll be okay. Stepmother's words whispered his way. Poor Joseph Hall. For in his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he stood up to fall. Yes, in his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he's not a man at all, Joseph Hall. He of new, don't stand a chance, what can we do? For the government, they let him down, his mental health should have been of sound. Yes, the government, they let him down, 10 years old and he hit the ground, Joseph Hall. In his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he stood up to fall. Yes, in his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he's not a man at all, Joseph Hall. Like a gladiator in the crowd, looking for his holy shroud. What can we say? What do we know? How will this boy stand to grow, Joseph Hall? For in his adult shoes, he shows the blues, for he stood up to fall. And his adult shoes still show the blues, for he's not a man at all, Joseph Hall.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here, there's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charge again with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welsh for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed. You know, getting back to that question about, you might say, our responsibilities as songwriters, how do you feel about that in terms of influencing, you know, sort of the general way people look at things?
I just think we need to keep pushing on with what we're doing, and there'll be believers out there, Johnny, and disbelievers, and we just put our music out there, see who likes it, put our talent out there, and hopefully people start listening.
I mean, when you take something controversial like that story of Joseph Hall, I mean, look at what they did to him and what they're doing now, and yet possibly, if it were the case, a song could awaken people's conscience and look at things differently. Oftentimes people just almost ignore the things that they hear on the news. And right now in our country, they probably should, because there's nothing really significant on it. It's all kind of programmed to distract rather than to inform, which is very unfortunate. Tell us something about the London riots, because that's something else you wrote about. What was that all about?
I mean, I was watching the news, and I'm not sure actually what it was all about, but it just all blew out of control. And people from all sorts of walks of life were saying, one was saying one thing, one was saying another. But as I was watching it, the words and the music just come straight away. Because that's what usually happens when I look up on stories like that, sad stories or stories like that. Can't really explain it, but it just happens for me that way.
Yeah. Well, there have been a lot of riots recently, sort of riots in this country. And it's kind of unfortunate, but sometimes you just have to realize that the government or the forces that be are just not listening. And when they stop listening, things can start happening, and any kind of protest can provoke them even more to more violence. And
yeah.
So sometimes it's important that we wake up in many different ways. I know that the protest songs, you know, during the Vietnam War, and, you know, particularly during the era of the civil rights, were somewhat influential in making people at least think about what was happening. So, So you didn't actually, you weren't actually there at the riots. You basically heard about them and you reacted to it.
Well, it did happen in my local town where I was, but then it started happening all over. But I mean, I was indoors at the time and all these things were going on, and I just saw it on the news and how it got out of control. Because I think sometimes writers are often wronged, and that's why they, you know, they lash out. They get heard.
What do you think about, how do you look at this situation now in the world? How does it seem to you, just in the most broad sense?
I'm not really sure. I mean, there's good things, there's bad things. It's a really hard question to answer. I'm not really sure how to answer that one.
Do you feel that this is a more dangerous time than other times, or do you feel it's just pretty much the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing, I would say. But it doesn't seem to have changed really in the last 10, 15 years.
Well, there certainly are a lot of the conflicts, but it seems things in this country
good and bad
seem to,
everyone, you know?
Yeah. To me, things seem to be a bit more dangerous, a little bit more. Government is much more obtrusive since they are recording a great deal of what we say and do without our permission. And I think there's a sense of fear that is governing people's decision in Congress. And Congress is not listening really very hard to the will of the people in this country. So I'm concerned about it myself. Well, let's hear a bit of your song called The London Riots.
Okay.
Another amazing song, very, very dynamic too. And again, you take on a different persona in this song as you do in so many. It's very interesting how you do that, Steph.
I can't really explain it. I just watch certain shows and the lyrics come and the music comes straight away, you know? That's how it works with me, but I don't really know why, but it just does that.
Well, that's great. I want to, Steph, we're going to, you know, be talking and playing your music for the next hour, but I'd like to talk about our next show next week for just a couple of minutes, if it's okay. What I'm going to be broadcasting an interview with Ray Boylan. You've heard a few advertisements here and there for West Side Warrior and Boots on Manhattan. West Side Warrior is a
memoir that was created by Ray Boylan about his work with the in the Korean War, where he enlisted in the Korean War when he was 15, and he fought. He was there when the Communist Chinese invaded North Korea, and then, inspired by that book that I was editing, helping him, I came up with a sort of idea that maybe we could write a novel together. Ray, after the Korean War, Ray became a crime fighter. Very, very interesting story. The book West Side Warriors, a terrific book. And we'll be right back with Stephanie Slevin on Threshold.